Podcast. 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 Podcast.
CurseCleveland.com Podcast. And now, without further ado, today's host, Sports Boy Tony.
I don't know what just happened.
Coppola transition pieces.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks once again for tuning in to a CurseCleveland.com podcast after, who'd have thunk it, a playoff loss, ladies and gentlemen. I know. Settle down. Devastating loss tonight, wasting a historic, and I really do mean that, believe it or not tongue-in-cheek, a historic performance by LeBron James. Cavaliers fall 107-106. We've got Neil Seekin, we've got Ross Atron to do a podcast after a loss. Guys, I don't have a template for something like this. I don't exactly know how to approach a Cavalier postseason podcast after a loss. Neil, what are your opening thoughts tonight?
I first want to congratulate you and Ross Atron for now having the ability to renew your URL at GoDaddy.com for the next 3 years, as CurseCleveland.com will certainly seem to take the ire of continuing with these heartbreaking defeats.
Yeah, very good, Neil.
Burn your Sports Illustrated right now, Cleveland, right now.
You know, we're a site that, even though we have the moniker Cursed in our actual site name, we don't really believe in those things, but you got to question the timing of the Sports Illustrated cover. You've got to question it and what happened tonight, because I got to be honest, as much as I knew this was going to be a good series, I thought the Cavs would win in 6 or 7, but I knew there would be some actual close games and some close games at home. I didn't think in the fourth quarter there was even a shot they were going to lose that game the way LeBron was playing tonight, and that's why it kind of surprised me the way it ended up. Ross, you've got to be as surprised as anybody, because you didn't take the Brian Windhorst company line that this was going to be a tough series. You had the Cavs in 5, although maybe you had Orlando winning the opening game and then dropping the next 4.
No, I mean, there was a lot of people that was worried we were going to lose tonight, but I honestly wouldn't even be doing the podcast if I thought that this meant doom and destruction and the end of the season. I really wouldn't be, but
what in the world is going on?
I want to make sure the 50 people that listen to this know that the Cavs are still the heavy favorite, and we played like shit tonight in the second half specifically. Really only in the second half. We played pretty well in the first half, and I'm not worried about a season series. I still think we could go 4 straight. Now it's probably looking like we're going to have to win game 6 on the road, which sucks. But I still think, I don't care about these matchup problems, and they could go 4-0 against us. You know, obviously we're going to get into why we lost, but I'm still pretty confident.
Neil, this is obviously the most formidable team they've played in the postseason. There's a reason that teams like Orlando, and there aren't a lot out there, thank goodness, in the NBA, there's a reason Orlando gave us troubles in the regular season. You know, what did you see tonight? And I'm guessing you're not going to look any further than giving up 55% shooting from the field.
No, it's a combination of things. Gosh, the matchups. I mean, let's just start with the starting 5. It's very clear, and I liked you had the cross-pollination of guys guarding different guys on opposite ends of the floor. And then the Magic adjust to that, and Rafer Alston was able to get lost a couple of times in the second half, mainly in the third quarter when they started to chip away at the lead and cut it down to 5 and then cut it to 4. This is not going to be a series for Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
No.
And I think people are well aware of that right now. He's clearly going to need some help. We saw some phenomenal blocks and some help defense at times from LeBron on Dwight Howard. And I don't mind it, again, if I don't have a problem with the strategy of maybe letting him go one-on-one. He got a lot of close-range baskets. The difference, though, if you have a guy like a Kendrick Perkins or a Big Baby Davis, they're a little more agile, so they can force him out from under the restricted area where he's throwing darts, basically, on his hook shots. He's getting all layups tonight against a guy like Z. And for him, though, if you're going to play him one-on-one and allow him to get the 30 like that, that's fine. But things changed in the second half, and we can talk about the ineptitude of defensive adjustments, because I really thought that that was their weak spot on the floor, despite the problems on the offense, too. It was a windbag of things.
Yeah, speaking of adjustments, we saw Stan Van Gundy actually be the coach to make some big-time adjustments. One was they came and doubled LeBron in the first half almost every time he caught the ball. In the second half, they went one-on-one and said, hey, we're going to let LeBron James take jumpers, and he made them. That was the thing. He continued to make these outside jumpers. All of them were in the two-point range there, it seemed, in the second half. And while he was hitting those shots, especially in the third, he again was dominating the ball, which, you know, you can't blame him for doing it with the success he was having offensively. But, Ross, that was the old Cavalier offense on display tonight. It actually worked for the most part, and then when they needed to get the teammates involved, he did with Mo Williams and Delonte West hitting a couple of those big threes in the fourth. But you know, it's tough to blame the offense tonight at all when the defense gave up what they did. But Ross, I really had a little bit of a problem. I think that's where it kind of went away from them, and they allowed Orlando to get that lead in the third.
Well, I mean, a number of problems. And remember, now we were up 15 at half.
That's a little bit of an aberration because of that three. I mean, it was a great shot. It's still 15 points.
Nonetheless, let's say that doesn't go in. It's 12. Here's the problem. Right. We're in the Quicken Loans Arena. We effectively only lost one game there. So to lose I don't know that you call it a must-win half, but whatever, game one of the conference finals, to lose the second half by, you know, 16 at home –
yeah,
against a team that just went through a seven-game series, and you're supposed to be the team with all the rest, even though LeBron's the guy looking tired at the end of the game somehow. But there was a number of problems. It started with kind of a switch. I don't understand why Delonte West moves off of Hedo Turkoglu when he had a ton of success on him in the first half. I mean, they switch off him. Hedo, at one, like deep into the first half, had – I don't know if he had any points, maybe 2 points and four assists. Hedo, when you switch the runner-up and defensive player of the year onto him, it wasn't just LeBron, but it was mainly LeBron. Look at Hedo's final line, 15, 6, and 14 assists. And he did not do most of that damage against Delonte West. And LeBron was pretty good on Rafer early in the game, but when Petrus kind of got his points, some of that was against LeBron. When Turkoglu did some of his damage, it was against LeBron. And I don't understand why they switched. Delonte, I was going nuts in the first half because he was reminding me of fully Eric Snow, being able to put him on a guy that big, and he had him locked down. And he had help, but he had him locked down. And that was the first of the problems in the second half.
I think it was pretty clear from the onset that they said, look, they knew nobody's disrespecting LeBron James' defense. There's a reason. You saw all the blockbuster plays he made tonight. He was so active defensively in that roaming role that we've kind of seen the Lakers use Kobe Bryant. But the Magic said, look, we're going to attack him. We are going to attack LeBron James. I saw Rafer beat him off the dribble three straight times.
Yeah, that's true.
And it is tough. Rafer Alston's, you know, these guys should beat LeBron off the dribble. They're shorter.
With that, they wanted LeBron on Rafer, hoping that Rafer would still try and jack up threes, because then you get that length contesting the threes. But Rafer, and it was intelligent, Rafer did go to the hole, and it still wasn't even that, you know, we didn't have problems in the first half. The only defensive problems we had in the first half was on Howard, not anybody else.
Right.
And then they made those switches, and I just hated the switches.
I thought, too,
on offense and defense in the second half, not one or the other.
I thought, too, in the second half, LeBron on Hedo. I mean, Hedo only took three shots there in the fourth quarter. Only took three shots. But it was his decision-making. It was
his
ability to get his guys involved. And I think when you put LeBron on Hedo, first of all, you're going to make LeBron work. And you saw a combination of everything LeBron was doing certainly wore him down towards the end of the game. And Mike Brown couldn't go with the typical substitution patterns that you get in these laughers against Atlanta and Detroit. But I think that meant your athletic rover couldn't be a rover anymore and couldn't capitalize on the type of defense that has made him one of the better defensive players in all the NBA.
It should have been West on him.
Here's the problem, though. I mean, who's that Rover going to play? Let's not forget, we're forgetting to mention Rashard Lewis and the fact that he
– But you can put him on
– Yes, but here's what I'm saying. There's got to be, after a while – and this point was made throughout the telecast, if Lewis is in transition, or even Turkoglu for that matter, I mean, you're going to have a four, whether it's Varejao guarding him. Who else showed some minutes?
Had to try and come out on Rashard Lewis on a number of possessions.
I mean, Boobie Gibson, you know, they had Boobie Gibson on the floor for 2 or 3 minutes. The Ben Wallace run didn't last that long. You've got three guys: Petrus, Turkoglu, and Lewis, who are all in the same vein of their game. I mean, they're slashers. They're not pure jump shooters like a Ray Allen. They can go to the hole if they need to.
Just Turkoglu, not Rashard Lewis. Rashard Lewis just wants to shoot.
Yeah, but he can go to the basket. He can drive.
He did tonight well.
He did tonight, which he hasn't done a lot.
I'm saying is, I mean, you may have to go, and this is where we're going to get into the bench, and not their lack of scoring, but I don't know. Pavlovich has come in and out throughout these playoffs. He's got length. He's a better defender, I think, than people give him credit for, and maybe even better than Zerbiak at this stage. I think by the end of the series, you're going to see him getting some minutes.
Well, you know what? Forget about the bench. And one of the things that we should talk about, I don't know if you guys want to do it now or not, is the fact that LeBron came out to start the fourth. I know he was dead at the end of the game, but we still lost a lot of points on the scoreboard at that time. And this is a big John Hollinger thing, and I'm obviously a huge nerd. I analyze box scores probably more than anybody should, but there's no need to take West, Williams, or LeBron out of the game. There really isn't. So I don't. Booby played, 1 minute tonight? 3 minutes? Zerbiak played 13. I basically just don't want West or LeBron ever off the floor. Mo Williams, that's fine, but not West or LeBron.
I agree with you there. I think Neil made a good point earlier in this podcast about Zydrunas Ilgauskas. And, you know, I thought maybe this was one of the ways they could neutralize Dwight Howard's amazing shot blocking inside was to bring him out. But what we see is he's been a liability defensively, which I don't think Z's been a liability all year. Tonight, he was certainly a liability. And you really have a problem there because, you know, off the bench, you know that Ben Wallace, he only got 10 minutes tonight. And again, with the game that Dwight Howard had, shows you the lack of confidence in Ben Wallace, because it would have been nice to have a guy like Ben Wallace come in the game and maybe foul a little bit, get Dwight Howard on the foul line, you know, kind of muscle him around. So it showed me not a lot of confidence in him. But why didn't Joe Smith see more than 15 points? I mean, our website's made fun of Joe Smith as being the messianic figure because Cleveland thought he was going to bring him a title around the trade deadline. But you know what? The guy came in, played terrific tonight, and I would have liked to see him the more active body in there. I know he's given up a lot of weight, but I still would have liked to see a little bit more of Joe Smith in there. Plus, he was 2 of 4, and he showed that he could hit some shots out there, and he looked like he was ready to play.
Well, Neil, you want to take that?
He hit some shots. I mean, this team could not have had a better first quarter. They had 63 points in the first half, for crying out loud, and they didn't even score 100 for the game. This is my biggest problem again, and it's not been as pertinent this year, but it still floated in, and you got a taste of it in that final game against Atlanta, and we can talk about the stat, but it's just the poor ass third quarters. I mean,
that's
they
an old
played
problem.
So it's an old problem that's reared its head again. I mean, they could have put the game away or been in total control, but the Magic get the four, they get the 4 points to start the third quarter. And then, you know, it's game on because they take a couple of bad shots. 33-17, I mean, Ross, you were in the house. I'm sure the roof was ready to come off after he hit that three. But for crying out loud, where's that urgency to start the third? And this is something under Mike Brown that has constantly, constantly haunted him. And now that they're up against a quality opponent, when the little kicks and giggles of not shooting well where they've survived before without – West and Williams playing their best.
All right, so Ross, you were there. Obviously, the place was rocking for most of this game until maybe the third quarter. Fans had to be a little shocked at what they had seen because, let's face it, quite frankly, they hadn't seen that at home since in a legitimate game where they weren't giving out free jerseys and all sorts of cash prize giveaways. They had to be a little
stunned.
They had to be a little shell-shocked tonight.
Well, yeah, and I think it started, and I couldn't, you know, and I know LeBron played great, and it's just in his 6 years, I've said this so many times, and yeah, I slob his knob all the time, but I've said this sentence so many times, LeBron had the worst insert stat line you'll ever see. And once again tonight, 49, 6, and 8, 20 of 30 from the floor, which is insane. And he was getting those mid-range shots that, you know, apparently they're worth more than 2 points when Kobe makes them, but when LeBron makes them, they're just mid-range jumpers that get you 2 points. And that's when, that is honestly when you would think, oh, he just drained six mid-range jumpers in a row. That's when the crowd started to kind of go downhill a little bit. And then once he started pounding and turned into Larry Hughes, you know, Damon Jones Cavs team, that's when the crowd really started to get quiet. It was kind of an offensive problem. The crowds really don't get quiet when you're giving up a lot of points and when the game's really high scoring. But tonight when the Cavs offense got stagnant, it was like, whoa, what's going on? What is going on? And so it did start to get really quiet.
This is nothing new. There has to be adjustment. And this goes back to Brown and Keister. Dwight Howard, correct me if I'm wrong, he had 3 fouls in the first half, did he not?
That's right.
Wait, legitimate fouls or real fouls?
Yeah, they got the short end of the stick tonight. By
and all, whatever
Bennett not Salvatore the chalked him up for. Three.
By the way, that block that LeBron threw back in his face, that was not a foul that he got teed up for. But overall, right. Orlando got the short end of the stick with the whistles, but not on that call.
My point is, while it's hard to score on them in the paint, why still, with all the stagnant offense, why – and this is where Z was a non-factor, but you have to at least try and establish something inside or go and maybe try and draw a foul. Get him in the fourth. Get Gortat in there.
I couldn't agree.
I said this a few podcasts ago, and we can go back and YouTube it or do whatever you want or Chris Cleveland cue it up. The guard, Williams and West, are there for a reason. And Grant, we know they didn't shoot well, but just their simple ability to penetrate – it just changes the whole flexibility of what they can do offensively, and I fail to realize.
As soon as LeBron stopped pounding it into the floor, which took like a number of minutes and a number of possessions, he went in there and he got the fourth foul. It took forever, but he finally went and did it like 10 minutes into the third, or I don't even know how long it was. But, yeah, go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, no, I just think that, look, we would have liked to see LeBron go to the basket. He got the and one on yet another non-Dwight Howard foul. I've never seen a guy foul out, and legitimately four of them were not fouls. Like, definitively, I know were not fouls.
There's the one LeBron fell into him and made the layup, and they called the foul.
Well, that was huge. I do think also, though, the Cavs – really got called for some ticky-tacks.
They did.
This is a bad crew. This is not the best crew that the NBA
A lot of the crews are really bad.
Steve Javi is reffing a game, I'm not feeling comfortable about anybody who's reffing.
But I would say, you know, back to the offensive problems, it's just like, and I'm not trying to like throw backhanded slaps at Kobe or anything like that, but it's not effective. It doesn't help your team. It doesn't help your home crowd when you shoot 30, and I know a lot of the 30 shots were inside the paint, and he did, you know, get to the line, but that's not good team basketball. And if you look at the Cavs record over LeBron's 6 years, when he's 30 plus shots, it's probably not that great. The same way we know the Lakers record is awful when Kobe gets the 30 plus shots. It's an ineffective offense.
Right. So why do you think, outside of the fact that he was clearly hot, why do you think he kind of abandoned for a significant stretch of time getting the teammates involved? I mean, he did it in the fourth, and they hit a couple big threes, and those were big. Those were huge assists. But
not only that, he went to the hole once, found Z, who immediately dropped a
Barajas.
That was a huge possession, and that's good basketball. And then the West three, and then West could have hit another three at the end, but he missed it. But yeah, that's the way the Cavs and LeBron have always wanted to play. I don't know why he did it. The only reason I can say why he did it was because he was on fire.
All right, Mo Williams, 6 of 19. Mo is taking this one hard. Afterwards, he certainly expressed some discontent, and you know, he took ownership over this loss for the 6 of 19. Now, certainly the offense wasn't bad tonight, but for stretches in that second half, it did deteriorate. Why do you guys, we'll start with Neil, why do you think Mo struggled in this way? Is it just a simple fact that, you know, he's a shooter, big, maybe some rust, a lot of off days? So why do you think that was?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got some guys that can flash out on him and maybe alter or agitate his shot a little bit. Rafer Alston, I mean, I'm going to give him, he's not the best defender in the world, but he's quick enough to stay with him. There just clearly has to be. He started all of his series rather poor. I don't know what it is. And he even talked about the fact that he was ready to play tonight. I don't know. But that's what you're going to get when you don't have
Well, one thing, look, we know this Orlando team, they have legitimate firepower in their starting five. Something, you know, Atlanta has athletes, but Orlando has guys that can fill it up that are versatile players. Obviously, Turkoglu, Rashard Lewis can be very versatile. Even Courtney Lee, who was only 2 of 7 tonight, was still very active, had the huge dunk on LeBron in transition, which really, really got them going because it answered some of the momentum that LeBron had taken for some of his big defensive plays and finishes on the offensive end. My question is, and I knew this would be a problem going into the series, they have a tough matchup on their hands with Rashard Lewis. 9 of 13 tonight, 22 points. He filled up the stat sheet a little bit, got seven rebounds, 3 assists. He is a dangerous player, and I just don't know how they match up against him. And I can see Rashard, you know, maybe not going to shoot the ball as well as he did, but he is still going to score some points for this team.
Well, I think, you know, and all of his damage, like I said, really came in the second half. And I think the reason it was another old Cavs problem beside that whole we come out of the third quarter awfully is defending the pick and roll. That's a very old problem that the Cavs have had. And tonight in the second half, you know, really with Hedo running it for the most part, but it wasn't just him, they found themselves wide open on the baseline with Lewis and Pietrus. And that was also because they weren't doubling Howard. They really never doubled Howard. But in the second half, I think we started to get frustrated with how easily he was scoring. And we started to hedge towards him. It wasn't a double. It was just kind of bad defense. And these guys, Pietrus and Lewis, found themselves open on the baseline. They weren't, the large majority were not threes. And obviously Orlando spaces really well, and they like taking threes, and those are really efficient shots from the corner. But these guys got wide open on the baseline, and Rashard Lewis just swish every time, swish.
I thought Orlando had open looks the entire game. Even when they were down 16 at one point in the first quarter, I thought, man.
I didn't think they did in the first half.
Really? I mean, even Barkley at halftime thought that they were
Dwight Howard did, but not the other guys. Because there were some times that they turned it over far from the hoop and they had trouble getting it to the rim. They threw up a couple air balls. Delonte West on Turkoglu, especially like in the first half, I thought in the first quarter, our defense was locked down in the first quarter.
Well, another thing that I said was not going to happen this series, it's only one game, so I could still be far off. I could still be an idiot. I said Cavs are not going to dominate the offensive boards. Both teams tonight registered 8 offensive rebounds, so it's a wash. That was a huge source of keeping their distance with the Hawks. You saw tonight, when the Cavs missed shots, they weren't just getting the easy rebounds. I mean, there were a few here and there, but that is something that they could rely on in the first two series. I'll tell you right now, they will not be able to rely on it in this series, and if they're fortunate enough at this point to dig themselves out of the one-game hole, I don't think they're going to be able to get that against either the Nuggets or the Lakers in the finals.
I agree.
Okay.
I mean,
well,
look at the points in the paint. It was it like a plus 14 swing in favor of Orlando in the second half?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Cavs have had one main problem this year, it's the points in the paint against in our losses.
All right, so I got to ask, Neil, you weren't at the game. The folks not coming through with the tickets anymore? Ross was.
The folks were there.
Okay, well, Ross was at
Kenny,
the game.
Kenny main man Rhoda sitting in between.
Kenny Rhoda also dominating the microphone in the postgame press conference like LeBron was dominating the basketball in the third quarter. Very nice to see the road man get some more airtime.
Anthony Lima, Lorraine Morning Journal.
please say your affiliation. How do you get in there? Does Chris Cleveland have a credential? Of course they don't. Russ, what happened tonight? With that electric crowd, did that slow down the crowd at all when the stanchion and the whole ridiculous dunk and delay after Dwight Howard brought the clock down. What was that like?
Well, I'll tell you guys what. It was extremely reminiscent to 2 years ago, the game we advanced to the finals. And really that whole postseason, we had shot clock problems. And I think there was even a lighting problem. And in that game that we advanced to the finals, that Gibson hit all the threes, there was like a 15-minute delay, like right as we were getting hot. And this one, it was no problem because we immediately – it was 4-2 after the dunk. And it was a weird delay, and it was like, you know, LeBron and those guys, they really come out in the court hopping and trying to get the crowd pumped up. Just kind of a little buzzkill, but, I mean, it didn't matter because we immediately started dominating, and LeBron had a dunk, and he had a huge block and stuff like that. So the crowd was back into it. But it was reminiscent of 2 years ago when the 2 years ago that what was that guy we had that tried to mimic the Detroit guy? He had to count the shot clock down verbally. He would go 15, 10, and then when he gets to 5, he would go 5, 4, 3. And luckily, we didn't have to deal with that. But
so I guess, you know, we only got a few more minutes left, guys. We're looking at this. Ross, you had this as a 5-game series. Obviously, yeah. I think America will take the Cavs in the second game. But in all fairness, Orlando did what they needed to do. They split the opening pair. They now, for a little bit, for at least 3 days, they have home court advantage, so you can wipe out that incredible regular season by the Cavaliers. I said coming into this, when you're playing against teams of this magnitude, and I know, Ross, I thought a little more highly of this Orlando team than you did, and you might still be right.
Yeah,
Cavs might still win this in five, but I'll tell you what, I don't think that home court advantage is – maybe in a Game 7 it's one thing, although we saw Orlando win a Game 7 even though it was against a bruised and bloodied Boston Celtics team. But I really thought that you can throw that kind of stuff out the window for the first 6 games. And, you know, maybe tonight it kind of proved me right for one night at least.
I'll say this, and then I'll let Neil finish up. What makes the Cavs is not our home court advantage. It's our team – defense and our half court defense. And I think, and I said this before and I'll say it again, if you know, don't pay for the league pass, if you don't know what makes Orlando Orlando, it's not Dwight Howard acting like he's Tim Duncan. When he gets 30 and 20, traditionally it comes off the 20 rebounds, not off 20 touches in the post. And normally his shit is pretty ugly. And tonight it looked good and it all went in, but I don't think you can depend on that. And I still think you're going to see us single him. And I just think West needs to stay on Turkoglu. We need to make sure we continue contesting jumpers. And trust me, Dwight Howard will not execute a post game like that. The rest, if it goes 7, the next 6 games, you will not see him that efficient in the post again. And we should be fine.
And I don't think the Cavs bench is only going to register 5 points, which is amazing. As well as their bench has played, it's been a bench that has extended the lead throughout the playoffs, with the exception of what was it, Game 4? Was it Game 4 in Atlanta? I mean, with the exception of that, the bench has really played outstanding. They kind of put their foot in as maybe the best bench performing in the playoffs. But that did not happen tonight. But I do think that is sort of a rarity.
Well, the problem with that is it's not on the road; it's at home. I mean, you can't – that's unacceptable. But this next transition for the coaching family, as tight as they are, is their biggest of the season. They have to make adjustments, and I think they will. Let's not jump the gun here. Orlando lost Game 1 at home to Philadelphia. The Lakers lost to Houston in Game 1. This is going to be a battle, and it's adversity. And they didn't handle it because the supporting cast wasn't there to help – the guy who's the best player on the floor, and I think that's the difference in the end. We still have the best player in the series.
Ross, 10 seconds. 10 seconds, Ross.
Varejao giving up that 3-pointer, completely unacceptable. If you're listening, Anderson, get your fucking hand up, Anderson.
That's right, folks. Curse Cleveland, message of the day to go out on, get your fucking hand up. As always, well put, fellas. Well put. We'll see you guys hopefully next time after a Cavalier victory. We'll see you next time.
It cost him.